Australian Bible Church, the last Sunday before Christmas 2015, continuing the biblical testimony as in the Presbyterian Church of Australia, Constitution 1901. Inheriting the inheritance. Of course, today is mainly focused on the inheritance of the Creator, who, coming as Savior, using the mode of incarnation, presented himself spotless as a sacrifice for sin, that in justice God might redeem and keep and bless forever with eternal life those who come to him, foreknown before the ages. That is the inheritance without which there is no life of a spiritual kind on earth, and because of the lack of which this world, which sees with faithless eyes in the main, is proceeding towards a recklessly achieved doom. A doom which, in the first instance, comes to spiritual judgment in the day of judgment, and in the second instance, utter removal as of a universe, as in Isaiah 51:6, like an old coat, it to be replaced, as in 2 Peter 3. That inheritance I would like to apply specifically this morning. There is another inheritance which so far nationally has been excluded from the national eyes of a particular nation, which as a result, as in Micah 5, is suffering profoundly and has suffered most profoundly. Today, I would like to look at some of the beautiful things which spiritually have been promised to that nation, and because that nation has to come back to the same Christ, are at the spiritual level equally promised to Christians. They cannot be promised as to the site. That's a territorial matter, but that is a promise. But they are promised as to the Spirit. And I want to relish some of these things which come from the babe who was born at Christmas, who come from the man who was sacrificed at Calvary, who come from him who was resurrected, and who, let us remind ourselves, as in Luke 21:24, made it clear that the return of Israel to its land, one of the two main features, as in Romans 11, the Jewish part and then the Christian part, and then the two put together spiritually, the return of the Jews to the land, as in Luke 21:24, say, therefore, is made by Jesus Christ, this same babe who is filled with meaning and prophecy and verification and confirmation right up to the moment, said he, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive to all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The Gentiles are very close to evacuating themselves from the blessings that Christmas signalizes in the Incarnation, by departing from many of the gains they've made and turning morally, spiritually, and ecclesiastically away from where they were beginning to be. The Jews are about to come back, as in Zechariah 12, and repent nationally. It's not a racial matter. National. Repent of their crucifying Christ. It's God that says it. Who dare close his mouth when God has opened it and ordered? Therefore, the factual return of the Jews to Jerusalem, shall we say the occupying power of their own land? That'd be like saying that the Australians were sent out and came back and became the occupying power. Scarcely would be the returning residents, if you please. So that the Jews, when they came back as they have done, are a sign from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ that his return, not this time as a babe, but as an effectual redeemer, taking from Jew and Gentile, those who are his, the angels, taking the elect, taking the chaff. And so it is. We're looking at some of the beauty of the inheritance of this same Christ through this particular means. Focusing in a way not easily forgotten, I hope. This Israel matter is as close to Christianity as the babe. The qualities of God do not alter. The babe became instrumental in their manifestation. One way it's been is to the Gentiles. The Jewish side is getting closer, because back in Jerusalem, the Jews indicate that their own repentance is near. From the mouth of Christ, his coming is near. I would just like to look for a moment at Jeremiah 31. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel. Israel, when I went to give him rest. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. O virgin of Israel, you shall again be adorned. Verse 7, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. And it speaks of bringing them back. And those lovely words in this 31:10 of Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off and say, listen to this. He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. It's like the end of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of God? That's the love of God to a special case. But there's no other case than through Christ. And all must come through him. But it's the same love that any and all, that each, from whatever basis, must come. Verse 28, as I have, and it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down. Yes, that also has applied in the spiritual side to those who come to Christ otherwise. They must be plucked up and broken down. This is not to say that the general Christian is the same in the special location of Israel, but it's to say the love of God is the same. The procedures are the same. The recalcitrants are dealt with in a way that is the same nationally. And each teaches us that the other and both reinforce to give more depth. Verse 28, and as it shall come to pass, that as I have watched, and it shall come to pass, that as I have watched over them to pluck and break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them, to build and to plant, says the Lord. And he goes on to speak of the new covenant, through which any and all, this race or that race, all races are to come. Then I would like to look again at Jeremiah 33. Let's turn to that. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it. Yes, we're dealing with the Creator. To establish it, the Lord is his name. Don't be forgetting it. Jew or Gentile. One gospel, one Lord, one faith. But many ways to the door whereby they enter that one faith. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So there it is said that they have vastly future, vastly important and vital things which they can know if they will seek. Thus says the Lord about what? Oh, verse 4. Concerning the houses of the city, right, we've got the topic clear now, which have been pulled down to fortify, oh yes, that's Jerusalem, all right, against the siege grounds and the sword they come to fight. And it goes on to speak of the desolations which are to be wrought for their sins, before in verse 6 it goes on to speak of the second part, as I pluck down, so I will build up. So here in verse 6, behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. That is also, of course, what the Christian gets, the same gospel. By different paths have come to the same Lord, the same gospel. There is no other. Because as I reveal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Peace which passes all understanding. Thy word is truth. And thou will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return and rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. The same God, the same pity, the same pardon, the same ground with the Christian seen in its fullness, with the Jew at first in its symbolism in the temple. Then it shall be to me a name of joy and praise and honor above all the nations of the earth. You shall hear all the good that I will do to them. And they shall fear and tremble for the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. And that is how, right up to the present time, the return of the Jews is relevant even to Christmas, even to the Incarnation, even to the Gospel, because their being brought back is an instance of the faithfulness and reliability and the love of the Lord, who is still willing, still acting, right up to this day, bringing back Israel, bringing back multitudes of others, faithfully and sure. No silly symbolism, substance and reality, each precious, whether nation or person. Thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place of which you say, it is desolate, without man and without beast. In the cities of Judah, it's very clear that we're dealing with this particular occasion. We mustn't forget that in our exuberance, as in Romans 11, with the bipartite character. First, there is the Jewish tree, then there is the removal of the Jews, then there's the planting by grafting, the placing by grafting of the Gentiles, and then the placing back of the Jews. One tree, one faith, one glorious thing, with its many illustrations and confirmations. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, of which you say, it is desolate. You can feel it. How many souls look desolate? How many souls have been taken apart, piece by piece? And how many souls have there been invasions as Israel suffered? A vast and ample exhibition of things which can be perfectly individual. For we are made individuals, and these multifaceted arrangements speak one way and another of the one Lord, the one Gospel, the one Creator, the one door. I am the door, said Christ, by me if any man enter, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Again there shall be heard in this place of which you say it is desolate without man and without beast, in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. What? The voice of joy and the voice of gladness. They're back on sight, as in Ezekiel 36. Still awaiting coming back nationally in spirit, as in Ezekiel 37. Which takes us right up to the Messiah. I love looking at Jeremiah 33:12. Thus said the Lord of hosts, in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, nor the cities there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. That's already happened, of course. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the south, in the cities of Benjamin, it's quite clear what we're talking about, as always. The cities of Judah, the flocks shall pass under the hands of him who counts them. How graphic! But now notice this, how seraphically clear. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Now that's Jeremiah 33:14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing. He performed the incarnation. He performed the sacrificial death. He performed the resurrection. And he's also performing the resurrection of the state of Israel as an exemplification of his faithfulness and a current exhibit of the power of the gospel, which shall again be vastly emphasized when they return to repent of crucifying Christ. It's all wrought together. That will be a contemporary exhibition of the power of the gospel at a vast world-centering site, Israel, a gazebo, for viewing that same Lord active to this day, with the gospel to this day, a reminder to a darkening world. There's not just 2,000 years ago, it's still there. Notice verse 15. In those days, which days? Why, the days in which he shall bring them back, as we have been seeing in great detail in verses 12 to 14. In those days. Do we need to be made clearer? I think we do, and the Lord seems to have felt such a thing perhaps himself, because he says, in those days, and he adds this, and at that time. Are we clear? We are not talking in poetic symbolism. We are being told that certain things of a highly particular character will occur to a body which has been exceedingly specifically defined, and we are being told that in those days, when they're brought back, and at that time, not some other time, this is the period of Jewish restoration. It's now reaching up to 7 million, going ahead rapidly. In those days, and at that time, right, the Messiah will rule. That's what it's saying. And as you saw from Jesus, when the Jews are back in their land, his return, the babe who grew to a man, who grew to a redeemer, who grew to a resurrected person, who grew to an example of the resurrection to come, in those days, they'll be back. And they shall grow up to David. Yes, it so happens that God chose the Jews for the incarnation, for the babe. Let us not forget it. Whilst insulting Israel in the way insulting to the word of God. He shall execute judgment and righteousness of the earth in those days, and at that time Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And he goes on then to make it clear, this is the name, the Lord, our righteousness. In other words, it is no other gospel to which they shall return. It is repenting of killing Christ, who nevertheless was a redeemer through that very act. But they come. And they participate, as in Jeremiah 31:31. In the new covenant, there's no other. In fact, if you look at Isaiah 30, it's made quite clear that the spiritual side of the Israeli equation, that's finished. The spiritual side. It's for them to return to. The same babe that was born. Same nation that was blighted and rebuilt. To the same babe. The same Redeemer. The same resurrected Christ. Who will astonish this world further. The days are near, we learn, as we've shown already from Luke. Who will astonish the world by removing his elect. As in Matthew 24. They'll be taken. And there shall be judgments proceeding in their time. Now I want to look at some more of these things. So we can look at many of the beautiful scriptures applied to the restoration of Israel at the spiritual level for ourselves, and we have the entire inheritance. For example, let us look at Ezekiel 36. And the desolate land shall be tilled. Where it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by, doesn't that remind you of Lamentations? Is it nothing to you? O ye that passed by. When Jerusalem, the people, young, old, the glorious temple, made irrelevant because they rejected the one it was all about. Then Israel, Jerusalem despoiled again. But now as in Ezekiel, and as in Jeremiah, to be brought back. The gospel, nationally received. The desolate land shall be tilled. Where has it lay desolate? And you think of many desolate people, whereas they lay desolate, blighted, bewildered, perhaps drugged, sexually harassed in maniac enterprises, or decapitating people in pathology of the most profound kind, littering the earth with barbaric tortures, as if to numb the conscience to the point that there is capitulation. Such has a name, IS, and it appeals even to the Quran. But be that as it may, this is happening. Whereas it lay desolate, these people are to be pitied as well as condemned. What they are doing is horrific to the utmost, which is also true in other ways less obviously torturous of those who ruin their own lives and the lives of others for other reasons, having been dissected out from all morals by the foolish teaching of a recklessly secular nation, and which is not these days, very few, teaching that there are no morals. Make up your own. There's no design. Ignore the design that's there by any definition that you'll find in the dictionary. All this is going on, and for many reasons. This ultra-dramatizes it in the Middle East, but is dramatic enough in millions being sacrificed to secular, sacrificial molds of education. Yes, whereas it lay desolate. Do you not weep at the thought of all these desolated lives for multiplicities of reasons, for multiplicities of religions, and multiplicities of secular enchantments, which try to make everything begin from nothing and then call it something in a way that logic cannot even look at? And they make this a criterion which leads to those who, having no morals, have been taught otherwise. They may be taught that their morals mean something to somebody, but what does it mean to them? Bewildered. They move towards this or that despotism, whether over their own individual souls or over segments of the earth, whether in some religious, malicious movement or in some other enterprise, whereby they glory in their infirmities to this point, that being immoral becomes the most macho or the most remarkable thing you can do. Yes, thus saith the Lord. Speaking of Israel, I will be inquired of by the house of David. And he has been, and they're back. And there are those for whom you may inquire of the Lord. What about John? What about Jim? What about Bill? What about Sally? What about all the other people who, for various other reasons in other nations, have been rendered desolate? Well, when they receive this same Lord, in this same Christmas, commemorated in his coming incarnate, that he might, at his time, buy back the spiritual territories already lost, just as he's brought back in perfect clarity the Jews to their place, so the missing to their place. Who wants to be chaff, I may ask, of whatever nationality? Thus saith the Lord, I'll be inquired of. He will be inquired of for many. I will make you fishers of men, something we plan to look at more tonight. And let's look at the moment at Isaiah 35 as we inherit the inheritance. The wilderness and the wasteland. How many lives are wasted if we can apply this beyond its immediate reference to that which it also symbolizes more broadly? The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Speaking on the Jewish side of this, and of course all that is a confirmation continually before our contemporary people of what Christ, the one born incarnate from God, has accomplished. These are highly visible exhibits in the case of Israel, the first port of reference for the whole matter. Says Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall blossom as the rose. Yes, that's Isaiah 35, also dealing with the Jews returning with great precision. Let us look at that for a moment. The desert blossoming as the rose. That suggests the opposite. We've been stressing the awful side. Now let us stress the grand side. The Jews were to be brought back with peace and truth, as we've seen, but their land was to blossom. It was to blossom as the rose. Wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly, says Isaiah 35, and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The joy of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make the feeble knees firm. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, the Lord your God will come with vengeance. Yes, this is part of the actual return of Israel, and there have been huge battles, immense losses, and far more to come, as you see in Zechariah 12-14. So that's there, but amongst all that, yes, look at this segment. The inheritance of Israel, yes, exactly as shown in Israel 35. But it has spiritual application. And it's a spiritual confirmation, a contemporary exhibit of the same love of the same God who is willing to reconstruct individuals. But let us look at the moment at how greatly it is a confirmation. Let's look at the desert blossoming as the rose in terms of the Jewish return. I find that there are floral exhibits. That kind of thing is earning about $200 million a year for Israel. I find that a little over 3% of them deal with agriculture, and it supplies 95% of their agricultural need. I read that many Jewish blossoms are whisked by air to Europe, that in Holland a train moves slowly with named roses, other plants, other blooms, past the buyers. And there are biddings as at a market. And they are recorded. And who had so much paid for his produce and who had so much paid is all recorded. The Jewish floral products have been accepted even in this highly specialized Dutch market. They are the third largest floral producer in the world. So great and intensive is their remarkable advance technically as applied to agriculture through commerce that with 5 acres all set up in the highly specialized technical fashion, it is possible to support a family. Wouldn't you say that the wilderness and the wasteland, the Jews were building it up, they were buying it up long ago, converting literal wilderness and wasteland and swampland into this kind of productivity? Wouldn't you say that it is fulfilled? And how many individual wastelands similarly are fulfilled in ghastly stricken malarial marshes, brought back to a degree of productivity, bear much fruit, said Christ, that will glorify your Father. So here is our contemporary exhibit of the babe who grew and brought a redemption that can bring salvation and peace and truth and spiritual productivity to the world just through the individual as through Israel. It blossoms abundantly. Wouldn't you say that that is true? Wouldn't you say that that has happened? And rejoice even with joy and singing. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. What wonderful things part of our traditional heritage, of our contemporary application of this season, which will soon show vastly more of the realities of 2,000 years ago, in more and more of these realities of this time. I, the Lord, will be inquired of for Israel, and he'll be inquired of for those that are lost. Isn't this the commission, the great commission in Matthew? Will he not be inquired of as we seek to fulfill it, whether electronically as we do, or in so many other ways? Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Authority to speak of the return of Israel as near to his own coming. Authority to speak of the gospel to be presented, which will largely be accepted by Israel soon. And also to speak of the gospel which alone can be accepted, whether by Israel or anybody else. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the name, teaching them to observe all things. You don't observe biblical marriage, defined marriage, by using the same gender when doing so is an exclusion from the kingdom of heaven, like divorce, like fornication unrepented of. We're just specializing in a new thing. Adultery used to be all the rage. Oh, it was said the French, perhaps unjustly, but it was said the French, oh, there is a nation up in these things. Adultery, that was the grand macro thing. That was a thing to show that you really are above it all. It's nothing new. They're now turning it into a gender revolt. And many are turning it into a childhood abuse, a result. All one in rebellion, biblically. And the Bible, it is that which has the inheritance which we do well to inherit on all sides, morally, spiritually, nationally, or in any other way. And so, we rejoice in the inheritance that we have. Tonight we will see more of Jeremiah, this time 16, where we specialize more on the Gentile return from their own idolatries to the same gospel. And we hear of the Gentile rejoicing as they give up their secular substitutes and idolatries of different kinds. Let us hear it. Tonight we may look at it further. Jeremiah 16:19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles. Yes, the time will come when the Jews, having been converted nationally, will be able to preach to the Gentiles. The Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, so what is it that the Gentiles are going to say as they come to the Lord? This, surely our fathers have inherited lies. Amen to that. Who can deny it? Everything begins from nothing and it isn't nothing. What more morbid nonsense shall there be? Surely our fathers have inherited lies. Worthlessness, that's the word God uses, and which he attributes to those who shall speak it when they come to him. And unprofitable things. Venereal disease is certainly unprofitable, and the breakup of families for adultery is not exactly profitable to the young. Will a man make gods for himself which are not gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might. And they shall know, and this is the Gentiles. They shall know that my name is the Lord. Our desperate desire is that more shall know it before it is too late to profit by it. Amen. Our Father, we praise thee for thy goodness and thy grace and thy glory. In little things like the babe thou dost bring, incalculably vast and infinite things like the Godhead, and thou dost bring infinitely forgiving things like redemption. I am the door, my me, if anybody enter, he shall be saved. Not a joint effort between the infinite and the sinner, but an absolute commitment by the God who became incarnate, rose from the dead, exhibiting that the body isn't our limit. Eternity is where we belong after the trial. How we thank thee for these things, our Father, and pray now thou bless us and bless many through the works and the proclamations of this day in Christ's name.